Monica is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across East of England today. This is their story. In Ipswich, healthcare workers ready to train for the NHS are turned away from programmes while wards remain understaffed and training facilities sit empty. Monica's journey exposes how Treasury spending limits prevent qualified people from becoming the nurses that hospitals desperately need. Not because the resources don't exist, but because someone decided the government couldn't afford to use them.
I grew up in Felixstowe watching my nan battle cancer. The nurses at the oncology ward were incredible. They held her hand during the worst moments, explained every procedure, made her laugh when pain medication left her confused and frightened. I was 16 when she died, and I knew then that I wanted to be like those women. I wanted to be the person families could trust with their most vulnerable moments. After A-levels at Ipswich Sixth Form College, I took a job as a healthcare assistant at Ipswich Hospital. For 3 years, I worked every shift I could get, saving money and learning everything possible about patient care. I helped with personal hygiene, took observations, sat with people who were scared of being alone. The registered nurses taught me how to spot the signs that someone was deteriorating, how to communicate with families, how to maintain dignity, even in the most difficult circumstances. Every day confirmed that this was my calling. In 2022, I finally had enough money saved and enough experience gained to apply for nursing school. The University of Suffolk felt like the obvious choice, local, with a solid reputation, and I'd heard good things about their clinical placements. I spent weeks perfecting my personal statement, gathering references, making sure every detail of my application was flawless. The rejection letter arrived in April. I read it 3 times before the words sank in. They said I met all the academic and experience requirements, but they were reducing their nursing intake by 40% due to cuts in Health Education England funding. 40%, that meant dozens of qualified people like me were being turned away, not because we weren't good enough, but because someone had decided there wasn't enough money for training places. I contacted Health Education England directly. The woman who answered the phone was apologetic but firm. "We simply don't have the budget for additional training places," she said. "The funding allocation for this year has already been set and we cannot exceed it." When I asked why, when there were clearly nursing shortages everywhere, she repeated the same line. "There is no budget. I applied to University of East Anglia, Anglia Ruskin, Essex, every nursing programme within commuting distance. The responses were identical. Funding cuts, reduced intakes, no budget for additional places." Each rejection felt like a door slamming shut, but I kept telling myself this made sense. Money was tight, the government had to make difficult choices, everyone was feeling the pinch. Then I went to the University of Suffolk campus to collect my formal rejection letter. I needed it for my records in case I wanted to appeal or reapply next year. The nursing building was massive, modern, clearly designed for far more students than I saw walking around. I asked a receptionist about the empty corridors and she directed me to speak with someone from admissions. What I found didn't match what I'd been told. Entire floors were deserted, lecture halls equipped with the latest medical training equipment, mannequins for practicing CPR, IV stands, patient beds with electronic monitoring systems, all sitting unused. A security guard was doing his rounds and we got talking. He'd worked there for 8 years and remembered when they ran 3 full cohorts of nursing students per year. Now they were down to 1 cohort, despite receiving hundreds of qualified applications every cycle. "It's such a waste," he said, gesturing towards an empty skills lab. "All this equipment, all these facilities designed to train the nurses we're told the NHS desperately needs, but apparently there's no money to actually use any of it." That evening, I called my mum's friend Deborah, who works as a nurse at Great Yarmouth Hospital. She confirmed what I'd started to suspect. They were chronically short-staffed, working mandatory overtime, burning out at rates that made experienced nurses leave the profession entirely. "We've got the wards," she said. "We've got the patients. We desperately need more nurses, but somehow there's no money to train them." I started to see the contradiction clearly. The people who wanted to train existed. I'd met dozens of them through my work at the hospital. The facilities existed. I'd walked through them myself. The clinical placements existed. Every hospital I knew was understaffed. The need existed. You only had to look at waiting lists or talk to any nurse about their workload. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that issues the pound had chosen not to spend the pounds that would connect qualified people to empty training places to understaffed wards. That wasn't an accounting problem, that was a political decision dressed up in the language of financial impossibility. Now I work as a senior healthcare assistant and I'm still watching, still waiting. But I hear those excuses differently now. When NHS England says there's no budget for training places, I think about those empty lecture halls. When Health Education England talks about funding constraints, I remember Deborah describing 12-hour shifts with no breaks because they're 3 nurses short on every ward. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it couldn't find enough of them to train people who were standing right there, ready to work in hospitals that desperately needed them. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were. All of them. The excuse wasn't a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It's the same logic as a household saying, we can't afford it, except a household doesn't issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it on the training places and the people who needed them. I understand now that this isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. Every qualified person turned away from nursing school while wards remain understaffed. Every empty training facility while families wait months for treatment. Every political choice disguised as financial constraint. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was never about accounting. It was always about priorities.
What Monica experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing authorities who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident truth, as though repeating it makes it real. Think of how tobacco companies once wheeled out doctors to endorse cigarettes. The white coat and stethoscope lent credibility to claims that contradicted emerging evidence. The authorities were real doctors, but they were promoting false conclusions that served corporate interests rather than public health. In Monica's story, every official who said there is no budget was applying fake expertise. They treated government spending exactly like household spending, as though the institution that creates pounds could somehow run out of them. Health Education England officials, university administrators, NHS managers, all genuine experts in their fields, but all repeating the same fundamental error about how government finance actually works. The objection economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation perfectly demonstrates this technique. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. And in Monica's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Ipswich ranks 180 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, published by MHCLG. The constituency has 3,022 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £23.3 million, according to 360, giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.